There you go. Thank you.
All right. Okay, well, I think we're about ready to get started. I am Dr. Daniel Nielsen. I'm an eye doctor and optometrist, and I actually don't sell glasses or contacts at my office. So what I do and what I focus on is actually helping the eyes and the brain to work and connect better together. So it's actually pretty, I love doing what I do, and it's not well known as far as kind of my niche of area, but it's developmental optometry. So just a little bit of my background. I went to school at BYU, Idaho for a year, and then I transferred down to BYU, and then I did optometry school at Southern College of Optometry in Memphis, Tennessee. And that was an awesome experience. Went over to the South, and that was a fun experience to be there. And then during my optometry schooling that I actually found, there was a girl that was struggling in reading. She was reading at a first grade level, but she was in third grade. And she, her mom was trying to solve and figure out what she could do that might help. And it turned out she had an eye teaming problem. Her eyes were not lining up the way they're supposed to. And so because of that, she was having a hard time focusing, having a hard time looking at the words on the page. And so in the course of where I was doing my training at the clinic there, turned out that she had, we were able to treat her doing some therapy, some vision therapy, help those eyes and the brain to start working better together. And it clicked for her, and things took off, and she started reading, and very quickly her self-confidence improved and her self-esteem, and she was reading at a third grade level pretty quickly. So that's what got me into this field, I guess, is seeing that experience, and then all the other ones that have followed. It's kind of my why. It's just want to help change lives. We want to make a difference through vision, and vision is huge. Vision is so big, and the title of my lecture is Beyond 2020. So I do have a practice, Idaho Vision Development Center in Idle Falls, where I'm at, up in Ammon, on the Ammon side of Idle Falls. And so let me just kind of get into what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to be talking about what is 2020 vision, different types of eye doctors, the visual skills that we need for learning, binocular vision dysfunction. We're going to talk a lot about binocular vision. Binocular vision is really big, and having it work effectively, or if it's not working, that's important as well. And then binocular vision and the connection to dyslexia and also ADHD. Okay, a lot of this is becoming a lot more common. Dyslexia and ADHD, and what can we do to help it? And vision can play a big role in this a lot of times. And so, talk about the types of binocular vision problems, and then also treatment options and how we can help. So, if someone would like to be a volunteer and just try reading this, can I have you just read out loud for everyone? So the way I'm going to have you read it is you're just going to follow the arrows. So you start here, and you're going to go up, and we're not going to have you read the whole thing. I'll just have you probably do two or three columns. We'll just go up and down like that.
This exercise was designed to force you to move your eyes in a different way while reading.
Good. You want to keep going? We can stop there. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Okay, do you know all those words?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing good. You did it. How did it sound?
Choppy.
A little choppy. A little bit challenging, right? Okay. Now, how often do you read vertically? Not very often, right? So I'm asking you to do it.
On my side and upside down.
Right, but we don't function that way very often, right? So asking you to read like that, it's making your eyes move in a different way that you're not used to. But you know all the words, right? You know all the letters. Hopefully you're close enough you can see it okay. Right? So, now this is how someone that has a child or adults can have these issues too. But someone that has a binocular vision problem, This is how it can be for them when they are reading. This is how it can sound, right? Because their eyes are not working together, and they might skip over things, or they might have a hard time. Okay? So, thanks. What's your name?
Robbie.
Thank you, Robbie, for helping out. No, you're totally fine. So, just keep that in mind as we go here. So, I just wanted to start and talk about this girl. Her name is Mercedes. I found she came to me because she was struggling with reading. That was one of her biggest challenges that she had. And she had a lot of headaches after school and during reading. Homework battles, you know, she clashed with mom. Mom would try to get her to help, and it was just a battle. She had extra tutoring and reading help that she needed. And she had low confidence in herself. After doing some vision therapy, we were able to help retrain those eyes and brain. Her headaches were gone. No more headaches. And both mom and Mercedes were, it was just a much happier connection there. And her grades, her performance in school had improved, and she loved to read. She went from disliking reading to loving it, and that self-confidence was huge for her. So this is kind of what improving vision and vision skills can do. So I just kind of want to start off with this to let you see that. Now I want to help you guys understand different types of eye doctors. Okay, so there's optometrists. Their title is OD, and they are they focus on eyes, everything eyes. Okay, so they go to school for 4 years and they learn how to be an eye doctor and they learn all the diseases and they learn all that and they're really good at getting glasses and contacts. Now there can be subspecialties and things that they focus on, whether it's dry or other things. There's ophthalmologists. Ophthalmologists, they go to medical school, and then after that, they learn about every part of the body. Then they focus on the eyes. And so they go into usually a residency and a fellowship. That's kind of what they... And they focus on surgery. Surgery is a component there that optometrists don't do. And so they focus on the anatomy and the structure. And then there's a developmental optometrist, which is what I am. I am an optometrist, but I focus on the development and how our eyes and brain, starting from a young age, you know, and track that through all the development and see how that might play a role and impact learning. So if you go to an eye doctor, sometimes you're going to an ophthalmologist, sometimes you're going to an optometrist, and both kinds of eye doctors miss sometimes these binocular vision issues. They have a hard time. They're not focusing on that. So anyway, just keep that in mind. And so now we're going to talk about 20/20 vision. I'm sure you guys have heard that term. Anyone want to raise their hand? What is your understanding of 20/20? What does that mean? Yep, it's an average. So there was a Dr. Snellen back in the 1800s, and he came up with this eye chart. This is actually my daughter. Better pose. This was up in Spokane, where I grew up in that area. But Dr. Snellen in the 1800s, he developed this eye chart. He measured all these people, and he saw those different sizes, and he found that this size at 20 feet was the average that people could see. And so it's the standard that we use to measure vision, how well someone can see clearly, right? Which is an important skill, okay? With that, you know, here's this eye chart. I want you to think about, I'm going to have all of you guys just silently read off this green line, or no, actually it's the red line. If you can't see it from where you're sitting, you could go to the green line. But I want you to just silently read that off and pay attention to your eyes, what your eyes are doing. Or you can do it out loud. Let's everyone just go. Let's just read that off. Okay. All right. What did you guys notice with your eyes? You probably don't think about your eyes when you're using them very often, right? They moved a little bit. Okay. Was it big movements? Little movements? Mild?
Small movements.
Okay. And you weren't quite 20 feet away, right? Probably, not quite 20 feet there. Okay. Now, we're going to do this. We got a paragraph, and I want you guys to read this. And just pay attention to your eye movements as you're reading this, okay? So go for it. Oh, that's a lot of words. All right. You guys still reading or are you able to get through it? How was that? Did you guys notice or feel anything with your eyes on this one?
I kind of felt like one of my eyes wasn't moving with the other one. It's
yeah.
kind of lagging.
Kind of lagging a little
yeah,
bit with the other one?
Or I'm like, it's not even moving, but the other one is.
The other one was doing more of the work?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you felt? Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyone else just noticed or felt anything with their eyes as they're doing that?
I mean, for me, if I get distracted in mid-sentence, my eyes will move, but I won't remember, so I'll go back to it.
Uh-huh. So you have to
and then
jump
I'll
back.
It, and then I'll proceed.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we go back to the eye chart that we were looking at, where it says just a paragraph of text, in terms of eye movement, what comparison do we notice? Back and forth when we're actually reading a paragraph. Now, I should have given you something to read up close, because there's even more movement when we're closer. And usually when we're not reading, you know, unless we're looking at street signs while we're driving, right? We're usually further, we're usually a lot closer. And there's actually a lot bigger movements when we have to be up close. So, something to keep in mind. So, now, these skills, our eyes, you mentioned you felt like one eye was lagging a little bit, right? Or you said Robbie said he jumped a little bit, and he had to kind of go back, and you're like, wait, what did I read? You have to reread things. Those vision skills are really important for our eyes. And so when we talk about 20/20, when we go to a standard eye doctor and get our eyes checked, or even at a school screening or a pediatrician's office or wherever it might be, they're focusing on this 20/20 standard, okay? And they want to make sure that is met. And checking for glasses, which all those things are great. And then they usually will do a health check. They might dilate the eyes or they look in them. But what we're looking at goes beyond that. It goes, there's so much more. Just reading this paragraph, you guys were able to see how there's other visual skills that are involved. Okay. So let's just talk about vision. Vision, a baby is born with terrible vision. I have a 6-month-old at home right now. And, you know, when he was born, he could barely just see his mom's face, right? They're about 2400 is the acuity that a baby first has. And then over the next few months and years, that vision is developed and learned, okay? And so the back of the eye, the retina is what it's called, it fully develops, and then we start to learn how to move and to act. And as we learn to move and act, our vision is developed. And so movement helps lead A vision helps lead any kind of movement, any kind of movement learning. And so our vision actually starts to develop when we are crawling. Right now, my 6-month-old, he's not crawling yet, right? He can sit up maybe a little bit, but he's not super good. But what he can do is he can grab something and he can bring it in, okay? So he's actually working on a visual skill. It's called convergence. So he's able to bring that in, okay? Super important. And then as he starts to crawl, okay, he's going to be able to actually use the right and the left side of his body. Super important for vision and vision development. Now, what I've found is someone struggles with crawling, or they scooted or the army man crawl, they're actually going to have vision issues later on in life. Every single person that I've seen that's come into my office that has crawled abnormally, it's because this vision hasn't been able to fully develop the way that it's supposed to. And so that just shows how important that is. And all our different senses are involved with that. Now, the neat thing is vision, because it's learned, it's neuroplastic. Okay, we're going to come back to that later. But every lobe, every part of our brain is actually involved in vision, how we see. So a lot of times the vision problems are silent, meaning that a kid, they don't know that what they're seeing isn't abnormal. Okay, and so a lot of times we don't know what might be going on with our child or their eyes. So like this iceberg, right? We got the majority of the iceberg, you know, from the surface level, things look, you know, doesn't look too bad, but you go down below, there's a lot more underneath the surface. So there's actually 1 in 4 kids that struggle, of school-aged children, that has a vision problem that can affect their ability to learn, okay? So learning and vision, they say up to 80% of learning comes through our eyes, You know, we are humans where we vision is dominant sense. Okay, and so we use so much of learning through our vision. Now, I'm sorry, this is really small. The point wasn't to be able to read everyone, but there's 17 different visual skills needed for learning. Okay, and being able to see the eye chart, central visual acuity, that's the 20/20 vision, is just one of them. Okay, we talk about eye movement ability, convergence I mentioned, a saccade, being able to jump back and forth, being able to see things clearly close and then far and switch back and forth, being able to copy things down, our perception, fine motor, eye control, writing. Believe it or not, handwriting is connected to our vision. It's a visually guided motor activity. It's an action that we have to be able to do, and our vision helps to guide that. So this is why a lot of these vision problems can be overlooked, is because this is typically when eye exam checks, right, or standard screening. So what are some symptoms, some signs and symptoms of these vision issues? Well, headaches is definitely can be one, especially headaches while you read, or sometimes behind, around the eyes, above. They can even radiate on the sides. Skipping over words or lines when reading, you know, having to go back and reread things. Just a hard time copying, hours to do minutes of schoolwork. Sometimes just falling asleep, you get tired, and you just get tired when you sit down to read a book. It just happens. I know several people that's happened. Or poor comprehension, but you might prefer to listen to it versus actually read. Okay, that's a sign that if we can bypass that visual channel and get it through our ears, then we're gonna do a lot better. Sometimes just covering an eye or moving or fidgeting can be a big sign, or mixing up B's and D's, letter reversals. Believe it or not, that's actually a big sign of there's something could be going on with vision. Poor attention and focus is another one there. Okay, so now I'm going to talk a little bit about dyslexia. Dyslexia is really big right now, as far as there's just a lot of... actually, I did a Google search thing, and dyslexia, just like 20 years ago, it was hardly even talked about. And now just in the last 10 years, just, you know, the people looking, researching, trying to understand it and find out what is happening has gone up so much. So this is a study. I like to look at studies. I think that's important, but I also do a lot of clinical experience as well. But this study from Harvard found that of kids that had dyslexia, 70% of those kids had a vision issue, a binocular vision problem. Okay, and I've seen in other studies that go up to 80%. I'm actually working. There's an occupational therapist and a speech therapist that I work with pretty closely, and she's finding that over half of the kids that come in that have dyslexia, you know, she'll do just a quick kind of vision screener on them, and over half of them have a vision issue, and she sends them out to get their vision checked before she'll do anything. If those eyes aren't working, it's really going to impact our ability to read and keep our place and know where we're going. And dyslexia, truthfully, actually should be a diagnosis of exclusion. Now, what does that mean? Okay, what that means is we need to make sure that everything else is normal before we can say this really is dyslexia. So that could be hearing, that could be eyes and vision, you know, other ways that we use for learning. And so really vision needs to be checked before we really truly do diagnose that dyslexia. Now, sometimes there can be dyslexia and vision issues going on at the same time. The neat thing, and then we'll talk about, is there's treatment options to help with the vision issues. And when we treat that, that burden is lifted, and it makes, if there is still some underlying dyslexia things going on, it makes that burden so much easier to process and understand. Any questions that anyone has about dyslexia and vision before I kind of move on?
How do you check for it?
Check for what?
How do you know if your child is struggling with this? I shouldn't know because mine is, but...
Yeah. Coming to someone that knows what to look for. So I'm going to talk about... I can check anyone. I do free consultations for anyone. But there is a website too. Depending on where you guys live and where you're from, it's called COVD. It's the COVD.org. It's the College of Optometrists and Vision Development. So it's the people that focus in this area so that they can actually check that and look at that. So, see, and I have it later in my slides as well. So what about ADHD or ADD? Okay, attention issues, okay? Now, there was a study here, and it showed that children that have a vision problem are actually 3 times as likely to have ADHD. Now, the converse is true as well. Children that have ADHD are 3 times as likely to also have a vision problem, okay? And this one specifically looked at a condition called convergence insufficiency. It's a really common issue where those eyes have a hard time converging and coming together and lining up the same place. Now, I'm going to get into examples here of what these vision issues are, but when those eyes have a hard time staying in the same place and lining up together, things can get blurry and even double, and they can shift and move, okay? If anything is shifting or moving, that can be common. Sometimes kids say when they have dyslexia, we need to have their vision checked because there could be something vision-wise, like that iceberg underlying, that is affecting them, okay? And that can make it really hard, and you're not going to want to sit still. You're not going to want to focus, right? You're not going to want to do those things. So I talk about some symptoms here, but, you know, squirming, sitting in your chair when you're trying to sit down and read and do learning can be really challenging. And so, you know, 80% of the symptoms of ADHD overlap with these vision issues. And so because that's so high, we really do want to look into the vision side of it, and the binocular vision. So some of these symptoms, fidgeting, squirming, maintaining, you know, difficulty with focus and attention. Maybe you'll start reading and then after a minute or 5 minutes, you're ready to do something else. Sometimes just making small careless mistakes as well, you know. So there's, you know, these different things that do overlap. So I'm going to just go over 2 things right now that can actually help improve attention. And it's because a lot of this is brain-based. And so one is if we can activate the vestibular system, it can actually help improve attention and focus. So spinning in a circle for 30 seconds, it can be clockwise or counterclockwise. And then going into reading or whatever learning activity you're doing is actually shown to improve focus for up to 20 to maybe even 30 minutes. So doing that spinning can actually help. So that's something to keep in mind. If you find that your kid is like this and is struggling, let's stimulate that vestibular system. I'd also say, too, movement breaks are the best. And so having your kid go out and jump on the trampoline or just doing some jumping jacks, those kind of things are actually going to help improve attention a lot because we're doing that movement. The next one is what I call the 20-20-20 rule. Okay, I'm an eye doctor. I use 20-20. So what this 20-20 stands for is that the first 20 is every 20 minutes, you take a 20-second break, and you look at something that's 20 feet away, okay? So the idea, especially when we're learning, we're usually up close, okay? And so we need to let those eyes take a break. And so that 20-minute mark is a good mark to take a break. Let's look up. Let's look away. Especially now, I mean, devices are so prevalent everywhere. So we really need breaks from looking at those screens. And so we look up, we let those eyes reset, we look far away, and then we spend at least 20 seconds. So those 2 things can help. Yep?
When you talk about spinning,
So we're just spinning in a circle.
Spinning,
yep.
Not like circling.
Yeah, so actually, yep, so they're pivoting, I mean, they're standing in spot. Yep, so that's rotational. So at my office, I'll do linear and I do rotational movements. And so, yeah, that spinning can actually help to reset. So, okay? All right, so talking about, I'm going to dive into these different diagnoses, but we have eye tracking, eye teaming, eye focusing. Those, I call them the 3 pillars. If you think about a stool, and you have 3 legs to a stool, we need those 3. And if one of those is not working as well, that stool is going to be pretty wobbly, right? You're going to have a hard time. So those are really important, those 3. And then we have a central and peripheral vision, and they have to be able to process and work together. Okay. And now our peripheral system, we're not fully aware of. It's subconscious. And so sometimes bumping into things, that peripheral system is off. We know that. So visual information processing That's our perception. It's how we understand and interpret and take in information and use that information. And then brain injuries, concussions, those can definitely impact learning. So I have this. Let's see if it'll work. It should work. So this is an eye tracking issue. So this is some software, and it shows what your eyes are doing. It has infrared sensors, and it's able to pick up what. So this little black marker is showing us what their eyes are doing as they're trying to read. And this is someone that does have an eye tracking problem. So you can see they're going forward and then backwards. They jump down. You know, at the end of the line, you know, they are all over the place. And so this can really impact a lot of things. How do you think this might impact someone's comprehension? Anyone want to? It's going to slow you down, right? It's going to take a lot more time. What about, you think there could be letter reversals if your eyes are bouncing around? If you're looking at a letter like a B, but your eye lands on the right side versus the left side of that letter, what's it going to look like? Pretty easily you can switch those B's and D's, right? Or P's and Q's, or a word like saw can easily become was, right? So the other thing with these tracking issues here, I'll just replay this again if you guys want to watch it. But the other thing with tracking issues is a lot of kids will come in, and they skip over little words. You know, words that they already know, like a or and or the or as, right? These words that they know, but it's like, why are you skipping? Why are you looking over those? A lot of times when their eyes are jumping, it's much easier. It's a bigger target. The bigger words are bigger targets for their eyes to find. And so they'll just skip over those small words and land on those bigger words. So we see that really commonly with these eye tracking issues. So here's some other symptoms that I think we've touched on a lot of these, but low comprehension, reading slower, sometimes moving their head. So I see this a lot. Just this morning I was evaluating someone, and you know, we go to check their eye tracking, and their whole head is moving. I said, watch this, follow this with your eyes, and their whole head is going, right? And so what is happening is their head is compensating. It's for the lack of eye movement ability, okay? Now, that you can get by, you can adapt and get by, but it's still going to slow you down. It's not going to be as efficient, and it's a sign that there's something off with those eye movement ability. Okay, losing place. You know, using your finger is actually a great thing to help with this. Using a ruler or some kind of a tracker can really help. And so if one of your kids is struggling, I highly recommend, you know, just let's block out some of that excess information. You know, if you have a whole text, you know, just let's cover that up and just use one line at a time, and you'll find a finger. I really like the finger because it gives a tactile feedback to the brain, helping their eyes know where to look. And so that finger can really help a lot. Now we're going to talk about eye focusing. Technical term is called accommodation, but essentially what it is just being able to look clearly close and being able to look clearly far and everywhere in between. Okay, now people as we age, all of us, we'll need some kind of help for up close. Okay, start needing those reading glasses. Now, kids should not need that. Okay, but a lot of kids do struggle, and this is what it can look like. See how it gets blurry, and then it clears up and blurry.
Oh, is it just me?
No,
that's.
That was me. But this is what it can look like. Now, kids don't realize that. Things are going blurry, and then that's not normal. You know, when this happens, they're like, let's do something else. This is not fun. Let's go run around. Let's go to the bathroom. Can I get a drink of water? Can I do something else, right? Because it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. And now this might not happen right away. It might be a little bit later. It might be 20 minutes into reading where this starts to happen with their eyes, the stamina, or if they're a little more tired, right? Some of these things can show up at those times. So. Symptoms, headaches can happen with this, blurry vision for sure. You know, if they ever have to shift focus, you know, a lot of kids that are copying things down, whether it's, you know, on a computer, they're transferring stuff or reading a story or on a board or wherever, but their eyes feel tired, you know, just avoidance, trying to do something else. Sometimes they'll bring in things really close. I'll see that a lot. They're trying to figure out how to just make sense of what they're seeing. And so we'll see, you know, kids are really good at adapting and making things work. And so you might see some of these other body movement and other symptoms that come up because of that. So, all right, let's talk about eye teaming. So eye teaming really means we have two eyes. And those lines have to work together. Okay, so we think about a bicycle. It's called a bicycle because it has two wheels, bi, right? That root word is bi. And so if you have a bicycle and one of those tires is a little flat, or maybe the rim or the tire is bent a little bit, and you try riding that bike, how is that going to go? Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be enjoyable? Right? You're not going to probably enjoy that. Okay, as you go, it's going to take more energy, more effort to do that ride as opposed to someone else that has a good working bike. And so it's the same way with the eyes. If those eyes are off and not in sync and not working together, then it's going to be much harder. And you're going to maybe start to avoid doing tasks with your eyes that involve these things. Okay? And that's why when we talked about dyslexia and ADHD, that's why there's such high prevalence with these binocular vision problems and these other symptoms. Right? So there are kids. So I actually, at my office, I have two transparencies, and they have the exact same text and pictures. I'll put them together, and then I actually will shift them back and forth a little bit. And I'll present this to a child that I'm working with. And I say, does this ever happen when you're trying to read? And there are so many kids that say yes. And their mom is sitting there in the room, and they're like, why haven't you ever told me? And it's because they don't realize that it's abnormal. Okay? So you can imagine how this might affect you, some of these symptoms. Right? Shadowing, doubling, the words moving on the page, leaning or head tilt. There can actually be transfer into sports as well with some of these things. Sometimes the issues are just right here, close range, and they're still able to perform well in sports. But sometimes it carries over where it might be a little bit bigger, and they struggle with catching a ball, especially something coming close towards them can be really hard. They might just be a little clumsy, might bump into things. If they've ever been in a 3D movie, they might not have liked it at all. Just because they like it, though, doesn't mean that there isn't something else underlying going on, but that can be a sign. Motor coordination, all these different things. So, talking a little bit, central and peripheral, I touched on that. But there can be car sickness. I'll highlight that. Motion sickness and car sickness. Actually, when I first started practicing, I didn't realize the connection between motion sickness and vision. I had someone, hey, I heard that you guys can treat motion sickness, and I called one of my mentors, and I said, hey, can we do this? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. And it was an awesome experience for me, and then I've worked with so many more people now, and, there's so many kids that come in, and they get, they're car sick, and it's because their eyes are off, and there's a mismatch between what they're seeing and what their brain is telling them. And when there's that mismatch, the brain says, stop, shut down, we don't want this, we don't like this, and then they might get a little nauseous, a little sick, maybe even a little dizzy. So, but really being aware of our periphery and our side vision is really important so that we don't bump into things and that we can see and use. Sometimes some light sensitivity issues, those things are connected with this. So visual information processing, that's how we're using and understanding information. Really important for learning, okay? This is really important for learning. So being able to have memory, understanding and remembering the different things. Now recognizing the same word, sometimes you might be reading with someone and on the, the next page or a few pages later, you realize, hey, we just went over this and I can't remember it, right? So there can be a visual memory issue going on with that. This one, that saying words out loud or moving the lips, that's called subvocalization. So they actually use that to help them remember, the lips moving, they can do that. But if they have to do silently, they might struggle because they struggle with some of that visual memory side of it. And this is also where some dyslexia can overlap too, with some struggles here. Some other categories of this is visual discrimination. Sometimes just mixing up things that are very similar. A word like clear or clean. Okay, you think about those words in that. All that's different is that last letter. Okay, the R and the N. Okay, and so if their eyes are off and they struggle with noticing those small little changes, they might mix that up, or they might just pick the first part of a word and just make up the rest of the word. Right. Now, laterality and directionality. What that is knowing our own rights and lefts. I call it spatial orientation. Really important. Our body. I talked about development of a child. Okay. We have to be able to understand our own body, and that helps to guide and direct our vision. But if we don't understand the right side of my body and the left side of my body, we're gonna struggle with a lot of these other concepts. So, I touched on brain injury, concussion. That is something to keep in mind. You know, kids are active, they're in sports, sometimes they fall, they hit their head. And that can cause some of these other tracking issues or binocular vision problems. And the thing about that, a lot of times they'll go in, you know, they might have a brain scan or things will come back normal. But the damage can occur at such a microscopic cellular level so that you don't realize what's going on. And then there's, we also work with visual rehabilitation, but in other areas. So all different kinds of eye problems. This slide is just meant to show that there's eye teaming, eye tracking, eye focusing, and then a lot of other stuff too. You know, lazy eye, crossed eyes, those things that can impact and affect this as well. So I think I've touched on this. Does anyone want to answer this question? Why does a child not tell you that they have a vision problem, a binocular vision problem?
They don't know. My 21-year-old just got glasses for the first time and was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I couldn't see in the dark. But, like, didn't know.
Yep, they don't know, right? And they think, I'll just share a quick example. During my residency training, I was working with this girl, and she had an eye teaming problem. The words were shifting and moving on the page. And, she's like, man, this is so hard. And so the teacher passed out this worksheet to work on. And she's like, well, I wonder if it's happening for my friend. So she went and looked across the way at her friend's paper. And sure enough, the words were shifting and moving on the friend's page. She's like, oh, I guess it's happening for her too. But that's, you know, that's the way their brains work. You know, they don't realize what this might mean. So why is there such a high potential for these visual problems? And it's because vision is in the brain. You know, we think about the eyes. The eyes are really an extension of the brain. They're connected by the second cranial nerve. But every part of the brain, every lobe of the brain is involved in our eyes and our vision. You know, just a cicada jumping from one spot to another actually uses 16 different centers in the brain to jump from here to here. Okay, and so if something might interfere with development, sometimes it's genetic and sometimes it could be injury, right? But that can affect our eyes. So some people that struggle, we've touched on ADHD and ADD, autism, anyone on the spectrum, there's a higher correlation of these vision issues, dyslexia, dysgraphia, twice exceptional, you know, some kids that are really gifted in some areas, but then maybe they struggle in some of these other areas. Sports, you know, driving, people like that maybe aren't performing at their highest level, or I mentioned injury, and sometimes they were really sick, and maybe that caused some of this, or a head injury. So, what can we do? How can we help? This is what I do, and this is what I love, because since for this. Now, I've been talking so much about binocular. It's two eyes, okay? Now, I'll just touch on, so a lazy eye, or amblyopia is the technical term for that. They always would say patching. We've got to patch. We have to patch, okay? And that's been around for 300 years. But research no longer supports that. Not all the eye doctors have looked at that research yet and know that because they've been out for a while and they haven't. It's just in the last 10 years that this is coming out. But what research is showing, what we're finding too, is that if we work with both eyes together, we're going to actually solve these problems for long term. Okay, we can help improve that, and it's the eyes working together with the brain. And so I have, you know, a kid wearing some red and green glasses. So we actually, that's how we can work to help these eyes and brain work better together. So vision therapy. Vision therapy is big. That's what it is. It's helping the eyes and the brain work together through a series of supervised eye and vision exercises. Kind of like physical therapy for the eyes, but we're not working just on a muscle. We're actually working on the brain and the neurology. And because we're working on the neurology, we're able to make long-lasting connections, okay? And that is so exciting to be able to make these connections that can last for a long time. I love this diagram, you know, the eye and the brain holding hands, because that's what it's about. So here's just some examples. You know, there's computer-based stuff. I mean, now there's VR that we can even use. But there's a lot of stuff too that doesn't involve technology. Just using red and green glasses, where, you know, we have to get those eyes to work together. this is called a Brock string. It's a very classic vision therapy activity where we just have some beads on a string. And we just say, look at this bead. And pay attention to what happens. As you look at one bead, you actually can see there's double beads behind and in front. We have a lot of fun. We have different prisms and goggles and lenses and all the things that we can do. In our office, we actually, more neurons that wire together will fire together. And so we actually are standing on a balance board sometimes. We're moving our body. We're doing movement the way a child would normally develop to help improve these visual skills. So who can benefit from this? It's really anyone. Okay? It's not critical period. They used to teach that there was a critical period, between 5 and 7 years old, and anything past that, you're out of luck. And that was, based on studies from in the 1970s. But I have 80-year-olds that I work with as well, and they've had huge changes. But we really do focus on kids, and that's my passion, is working with kids and helping them improve and making those changes. So he's one of my mentors, actually Bob Sanit. He's a vision therapy guru. But he asked the question, is the visual system helping or is it interfering with your ability to achieve your potential? Okay. Is our visual system helping or is it a hindrance? Okay. So that's something to think about. And here's another quote. Vision is the brain's way of touching the world. And I go back to my little six-month-old at home. He is just exploring. He's learning how to fixate and how to use his eyes. He'll look at you and then he'll just smile. And it just melts your heart. It's so hard not to maintain eye contact with him when he does that. And so he's able to interact with the world. And he's learning and seeing and exploring. And that will help as we have good binocular vision. It helps learning. It helps school. It helps all these things that we want as parents for our kids. So back to Mercedes. She really struggled with reading, and she had these headaches, she had all these issues. And at the end of her vision therapy, she was so excited to read. She actually asked her dad to build a reading nook in her room because she was so excited to read her books. And so she had gained so much confidence. So I want to see if there's any questions. Does anyone have any questions about anything that we've talked about? Yeah.
It's like your example of the first or the third grader and a lot of the things you describe, I notice in her vision, and I'm wondering how much of it's actually visual and it's dyslexia, but I know every kid's different, but if you could give a guesstimate, what kind of time frame you can see pretty significant difference or that you did in that
For treatment, what that looks like?
Months.
Yeah.
Weeks.
It usually takes months. Yeah, so every person is different, right? So I can say the average time is probably 6 to 8 months. But sometimes it can be longer, it can be a year or more. Around that 6 month, 6 to 10 month mark is the majority of people that need this. But, there's some that are less. So.
Is it something where, they're coming every week to see you, or do you see stuff at home and see you? Do that make sense?
Yeah. So, we do weekly therapy sessions at our office, and so we do weekly appointments once a week. It's a 45-minute session, and then we do recommend home activities as well to practice. Right. So, if we're doing piano, we want to practice and not just show up to the recitals or whatever. And so what that does, as we do that practice, it really helps to reinforce what we're doing in the office as well. So, every person is a little bit different and every diagnosis is different, right? In the back.
So are some of these further down vision issues, or I guess maybe even any of them, are these things that a regular vision screening would pick up?
Not typically.
Or a doctor, just doing the tracking,
Yeah, I help educate, especially in Eastern Idaho. I've been here for 6 years now. And, a lot of them are, at least the optometrists know about vision therapy. But they, I don't know, they have a hard time. They focus, they have busy schedules, and they're trying to get in, and they And so a lot of times, you know, eye doctors, they will just, they'll notice it and they'll just move on. I don't know. They maybe they haven't seen it work and they haven't seen, you know, the changes. I don't think they really fully understand it. Unfortunately, so one thing I do recommend, if you're trying to, you know, decide if you know, you have a child or you know someone that might have some of these issues, is I have a symptom survey that you fill out. And if they score, you know, if there's several of those that are marked, then that's just a really high indicator that there could be a vision issue. I found that to be a really awesome tool for helping to screen people and get people in there. I'll just say there's one kid that was recommended to get their eye tracking tested. They wanted to send him to me, but they sent him to another eye doctor. And the eye doctor looked at him. They said, "Oh yeah, you do have that, but there's nothing that can be done," and they just sent him on their way. And then they found me a year later, and I tested. I'm like, "Yep, we can help you." And so it just is really hard, and that's why I started at the beginning talking about the different types of eye doctors and how there's just not that awareness for the specific binocular vision issues. And so probably why I'm excited to be here, to just help spread the word and educate about some of these binocular vision issues and what's going on there. So.
Do you only have a clinic in
Canada? I do right now. Yep.
Travel or
anything? No.
How long does it take to figure out if someone has an issue? Do they have to come into your office for all the right machines to check it, or can you just tell by looking at them?
They need to come in. So we do a consultation, and we can just do, you know, usually a pretty quick check on that. We'll see if there's something there. But yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to do that now. Sometimes we can do some telemedicine remote therapy. We've been able to do that for people that are far away, but we do need to travel to do some of the testing for sure. And, you know, we prefer an office because it's easier to be hands-on versus just not in person. But yep. Okay. I did mention, so to find a doctor, COVD.org, this website, and there's a locate a doctor tool. So this is a really good resource, really good organization. They actually just changed their name from COVD to OVDR, but this is still the website. They haven't changed the URL. So it was too confused with COVID-19. And so they wanted to change that, so they just made that change in the last year. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Right, but we existed long. This organization existed long before that was even a thing.
So they
changed it to OVDR. Yeah, I mean, this website is still the website, but just the name of it used to just be COVD, College of Optometrists and Vision Development. But yeah, so when you look up, you'll see both now because they still have both the names. But yeah, it's OVDR. So Optometrists and Vision Development and Rehabilitation is what the organization is, but. So that's, yes, this is my website. Yep. So, okay. Well, I do actually have some flyers I want to hand out if you guys would like. This gives you a little more information.
Are you the only one in South East Iowa that's really know what they're talking about? in a non-rude way to other doctors, but.
Yeah, you know, there are some really good doctors in this area, but I'm really the only one that focuses on doing this and treating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions? Comments? I know there's a lot that goes into this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How easy is it to get in to be seen in your office?
You know.
For the long wait list?
Would you like one of these?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Usually we can get you in within a month. I mean, a couple of weeks or a month. Kind of depends on the schedule and just that kind of thing. But, yeah.
So that website you're saying
So this website helps you find a doctor in the area that focuses on this area. Right? So I was actually just talking to my cousin, and they live in North Carolina, and so I. She has a little daughter, and her eyes are crossing, and she's concerned, and anyway, so I actually used this myself to find a doctor that I recommended for her to go see over in Charlotte, North Carolina. But
what is that test you said that you just filled?
A questionnaire?
Yeah.
I forgot to bring it. So, but if you want, I can have you write down your information. I can send that to you. So if you guys would like that, we could definitely do that. Or if you want to, yeah. So if you want to just come up here, I'll say afterwards, and we can get that information and send you that information. So any other questions or anything else you want me to focus on or touch on for you guys? Well, so, well, thanks for being here. I'm just going to say one thing real quick is, I was homeschooled when I was a kid through grade school, and this conference, I'm just grateful for Heather actually here. She was one of the ones that invited me to come, and it's an awesome thing that they're doing here, and I was able to attend one of the lectures and just be a part of this whole group. And, you know, I grew up, there was a little co-op that I was a part of, and it can just make such a big difference. And I love that you guys, you know, really care about your kids and want to do what's best for them. And I think that is so valuable. And so just thanks for having me, and I appreciate your time and for attending my lecture.
There's going to be a co-op in the room.